start the service. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps the truth forever, who does not forsake the works of his hands. Amen. Grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 278, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. 278, 1, 4, and 5. After the confession of faith, we will sing Psalter 76, the first stanza. After the confession of faith, we will sing 76, verse 1. After we have confessed with our hearts and mind our Christian faith, with the words of the Apostles' Creed and the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 39, question 104, as follows.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father, Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe one holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Question 104. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? Answer, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand.
Let's turn to the New Testament and read from the Epistle to the Ephesians. And we will start in chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, and continue reading until chapter 6, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22 till chapter 6, verse 9. And the Word of God comes to us from there as follows.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him.
Let us seek the Lord's face in prayer. Let's pray. O our heavenly God and Father, in Christ Jesus, thy beloved Son, thou granted us to be together this afternoon again for this second time on the day of the Sabbath. And thou hast called us again around an open Bible. And thou hast already spoken to us from the Scriptures. And O Lord, grant us understanding hearts and minds when we read about that very personal and practical teaching for wedding life, marriage life, for family life, for church life. Oh, to be obedient to thee, O Lord Jesus, to submit ourselves unto thy will. And thou knowest, Lord, who we are and who we remain. And we are born with a heart which wants to be a king and not a servant. But O Lord, also when thou made us servants of thee, because we became a child, and still we have that heart, that own I, that always want to be in the center. Oh God, then we have to think about authority in this afternoon, and submitting us before the authorities given by thee. Grant us, Lord, that heart of thee, O Lord Jesus. Oh, cleanse our hearts and change our hearts. And oh, by that wonderful power of thy Holy Spirit and that wonderful power of thy love, oh, enemies of thee will become children, will become, by thy love, willing, ready to serve, even unto death. Therefore, we come to thee and we pray, take our lives, O Lord, and take our time before thee, that we might acknowledge thee as our Lord, and that we might follow thee in the paths thou art showing us to go. O precious Lord Jesus, that we really might know thee as our Savior And if we do not know, if we do not know Thee as our Savior, O Lord, grant us to see our desolate and dangerous situation. And bring us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, power of Thy Word, as a lost sinner at Thy footstool. Lord, remember us and be with us and open the Scriptures and open Thy Word and grant us to understand the teaching which is in the Scriptures, also in this practical matter. Lord, remember us in listening, remember us in speaking. And Lord, we pray for Thy church, Thy church in Canada, Thy church all around the world. Oh God, we pray, cleanse Thy church, revive Thy church. But also, Lord, enlarge Thy church by the work of mission and evangelists, wherever they are and wherever they work, sometimes on very difficult places. Oh, be with them. And may we pray in particular, Lord, for that mission work of our church in Malawi, in Suriname. May we pray for the Owen family and their work for Timotheus. But Lord, may we pray for every servant in Thy kingdom. Oh, remember also Thy people Israel. Thou knowest how they up till now don't accept Thee, O Lord Jesus, as their Messiah. And we pray, and please, Lord, use also the circumstances in which they are now, in the midst of a war, in the midst of all the enmity from all around the world. Oh, use those circumstances to bring them to the acknowledgement, to faith in Thee, O Lord Jesus, like Thou hast promised in the Scriptures, that would be a blessing for the entire church and the world. Oh, be with this world, which is bleeding out of so many wounds. This world, oh Lord, it's a dangerous place. But, oh, when we are safe in Thee, oh, then we can serve on the places Thou hast given us to serve, to be faithful, to be a witness. And so, Lord, we pray, be with us and be with Thy church. Be with our governments. Oh, grant those people to see the responsibility they are given by Thee, that they have to give account for all the decisions they made for Thee. Yes, it's the authority given to us, like we have heard this morning. Law and order, it's a fruit of the covenant of Noah. O Lord, but thou knowest how sin has broken everything on every level of society. But also, and this is our hope and expectation, the covenant of Noah, it makes clear that thou takest care not only for our souls, but that thou takest care for thy entire creation. And therefore our eyes are unto thee. Help us and remember us. We pray for Jesus' sake alone. Lord, we pray also for Willy de Boer, who is in the Netherlands visiting his brother who is very ill. Remember her, remember him in his circumstances, O God. And thou knowest everything. Prepare also him, Lord, for that day that we have to appear before thee. And so we commend unto thee each and every one of us in all our lives and circumstances, known or unknown. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will sing from Psalter 2:13. And we will sing the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3 from 2:13. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The fifth commandment. Congregation, this is the next in the order. But it is also a different one, the fifth commandment. Like we have seen this morning with the catechism class, the first four commandments are about serving God, loving God. And the fifth till the tenth commandment, it's about loving my neighbor. And it's remarkable that this second half, second table of the law, how you ever will call it, started with honoring parents, it seems. But that's part of it. But the answer of the Heidelberg Catechism makes clear it's way more than only parents. It's actually about authority. And that's the connection between the first four commandments and the fifth till the tenth commandment. We are in those first four commandments called to accept the authority of God. God is our creator, and we are creatures. God is God, and we are man. And so when it comes to authority, it starts already in the first four commandments. If we love God, then we love His authority. And congregation, we have to see this clearly, otherwise we will only be focused on a detail of parents, and that's also an important part of that. But we have to see the whole picture. And I think it started with that God is God and that He has the authority over my life and over your life. And that's the first question you can ask for yourself. Does God has that authority in your personal lives? And then we have to be honest, by nature, not. No, in paradise, we have spoken to God and we have said to Him, Lord, please go from your throne and let me be God. And that's who we are by nature. Oh yes, we will serve God as long as God serves me. That's the fundamental sin. Not accepting the authority of God in our lives. And this is that part, this discovering part of the commandment. And let me start there this morning, this afternoon. Oh, this opened the reality of human beings. I am my own God by nature. I can be very religious, but by nature I am my own God. And then hopefully you see there's not only a sin against the first commandment, the second commandment, but also a sin against the fifth commandment. I don't accept God's authority. And that's a wonderful thing when God brings a sinner at His footstool by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, and He brings you as an ungodly, as an enemy of God, as a lost sinner, and he washed away all your sins in the blood of the Lamb. And Christ becomes your head, what he will be in your life. He will become your Kyrios, your Lord. And what is, why he is called Lord? Maybe you remember that, Philippians chapter 2, that wonderful piece, that where Paul writes about what Christ did in his humiliation. And that he humbled himself unto death. And then it says in verse 9, therefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And what is that name? That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. That's the Christian. That's the Christian. Jesus Christ becomes our Lord. Not only my Savior, but also my Lord. And that's what Jesus is talking about, speaking about in Matthew 28, right before he will go to heaven, and he is with his disciples together. Then he gives them that great commission for mission work. Go out. But before he speaks those words, he will say, me is given all power in heaven and on earth. And that word power, children, you also can translate with authority. Me is given all authority. And that's why we read together from Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. Where the Apostle Paul speaks about marriage life and family life. And then he compares marriage life with Christ and the church. So as Christ is the head of the church, and the church, because she loves her Lord and Savior, accept the Lord Jesus Christ to be his or her authority. So in marriage life, the wife will accept the authority of her husband. And so that is also the relation between the parents and the children. The parents have a given authority. Why? It's a given authority by God over their children, and children will accept and have to accept that authority. But my congregation, I hope you see this pattern. It's God has authority over man in creation. But in the new creation, Christ has the authority over his church. And that's how a husband has authority over his wife. And parents has authority over their children. Remember these connections. And so, who's God? And what's the authority of God? And what's the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of his people? Because when we are talking now over the fifth commandment, we are speaking about the fifth commandment in the life of a Christian. It is not just but a rule. No, now we are talking about the fifth commandment in the life of those who belong to Christ. So the first question is this afternoon, do you belong to Christ? Yes, that's the most important question you have to answer this afternoon. Are you in Christ or outside Christ? Are you outside Christ? 24/7, you are disobedient to the fifth commandment. 24/7. Transgressing against the fifth commandment. And it would be just that God will condemn you for that reason, isn't it? Not accepting the authority of God, not accepting the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the life of a Christian who was humbled, who was with all his pride and with all his enmity brought at the feet of Christ. Yet to teach us to be obedient to the authorities given by God. And then, yes, then is God a wonderful, and then is Christ a wonderful head of his church, isn't he? His love, his care, his faithfulness. The Heidelberg Catechism is using these beautiful words. What doth God require in the fifth commandment? And then it says, that I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Those words, honor, love, and fidelity. This is what Christ does in the life of his church, isn't it? Christ is showing to his people that he is faithful. He is showing his love. He is honoring his people because he has taken them out of the depths of their lost lives. And he has saved you. Oh, this is the love of God of in Christ Jesus. He has shown his honor, his love, his fidelity. And that's why a Christian loves Christ, isn't it? Oh, when I in faith see and taste the love of Christ, there will be the response of a sinner's soul to love Christ, isn't it? Oh, when I see what Christ did at the cross of Calvary, his faithfulness unto death. Oh, my heart will jump up in me and, oh, filled with joy and love for that Savior. He is filled with love. He is filled with faithfulness. And therefore, I love my Savior. But does that mean that Christ is only dealing with his people in a way of prosperity? Children, is that the idea that if you are in Christ, then everything will go well? Oh, no. No. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we know about the Hebrews, the people of the Hebrew people were were struggling with persecution. They were Christians, they belonged to Christ, they loved Christ, and still they were struggling with persecution, and they were thinking, but how is this possible? Starting in verse 5, Hebrews 12, 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he received." So Christ, the love of Christ, means also chastening. Means also that he disciplines his church. It's part of the, let me say this, the upbringing of Christ's children. Like a good father. And so when we speak about the fifth commandment, we have to see it in the light of God and creation with Christ and his church. How Christ is dealing with his church. So parents have to deal with their children. And children have to deal with their parents. Also, it's clear. Let me just continue a little bit more from that chapter 12 from the Hebrews. "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and are not sons. And furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" So God and Christ is also chastening his people in teaching them. And this is the example how we have to explain this fifth commandment. Called to love my neighbor. In the fifth commandment, called to love my neighbor. And then we come to the question, why does that fifth commandment actually speak about, very specific, about parents? We talked about it this morning, children. Why God started with parents when I have to love my neighbor? Why he didn't start to with government or with, I don't know what. But why he started with parents? Because it's not easy for a baby to love her mother. It's not hard for a child to love his parents. It's natural. Oh, this is why God started with loving my parents, accepting their authority. They are so close to us. A relationship with my parents, that's not a choice, that's a gift of God. Our parents are given. It's not my choice. So love, to love my neighbor, accepting authority starts in the circle of the family. There I will learn to respect my parents, to respect authority as a way to honor God. But we need, so when we see this, then we see it is between parents and children. Yes, and children, they are, it's in the fifth commandment. We have to honor our father and our mother. And when it is true, and when it is good, then we honor our father because we love them. We love them. But why and how can children know what that means to honor their father and mother, to love their father and mother, and to trust their father and mother? That's the example given by their parents. And that's why we start reading this afternoon not in chapter 6, but we start reading in chapter 5. You know, the divisions in chapters, it's all human-made. But in the epistle of the Apostle Paul, those two aspects are, they belong together. And we started actually reading in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. But maybe we had to start in verse 21. It says, submitting yourselves unto another in the fear of God. So it's part of a Christian life to submit ourselves. And this is part of that fifth commandment. You know, by nature, I am not willing to submit. I am willing to rule. That's who I am by nature. And I can hide it with all kind of things, but that's who I am by nature. But by the grace of God, by the power of Christ, I'm ready to submit. And then Paul starts speaking about, in verse 22, about marriage life. And how can children know what it means to honor their father and mother, to love their father and mother, and to trust them? Oh, that's what they can see when it is well in the lives of their parents. My dear parents, that's what you have promised on the day of your wedding. That you would honor your husband, your wife. That you would love your husband, your wife. And that you would be faithful to your husband and to your wife. So, before we come to the children, we have first to talk with you as parents and with myself as a parent. Do I show when I am a Christian the love of Christ in my marriage life? This is why we have seen it already. What is the marriage life? That's how that Christ, the image of marriage in the Bible, is the image of Christ and His church. Fathers, is your authority based on your humility? Like the authority of the Lord Jesus was based on His humility. That He was willing to go into death for His church, and therefore God has honored Him to be the Lord. Fathers, is the way how you are a husband for your wife? Submitting yourself. Given yourself in love, like Christ has given Himself for His church into death. So every marriage, and we hope to speak about it in the seventh commandment, is actually, when it is right, when it is correct, a Christian marriage is a visible preaching of the gospel. women, mothers, what are you showing in your marriage life? Are you showing that love? The love the church has for their Savior and for Christ to humble himself, themselves before Christ. Have you ever met one single Christian in this world who doesn't love Jesus? Have you ever met such a Christian? Such a broken Christian? Oh, you know, maybe you know what I mean. Oh, a Christian can hate himself and the sin in his heart. But oh, it's an increasing love for the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? That's an image of how a wife loves her husband. Mothers, is it that love that you are showing your children? They are looking every day, and they are considering every day what they are seeing, how we as parents are living together. Do I show honor, love, fidelity to my wife and to my husband? And their children can learn also to honor their parents. And yes, that's the fifth commandment, to accept that authority that we as children we have to. And this is remarkable also. When you read it in the law of God, it started with the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods. First, the second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee. The third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord. And then there are two commandments who were starting in a different way. That's the fourth commandment about the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath. And then the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's a beautiful word. The Hebrew word for honoring my father, that means lifting them up. That means that they are important, that they are waiting in my heart. They are important for me. And this is the word, honor thy father and thy mother. Oh, that they may wait in your heart. And so, you know, when children see that love, honoring and faithfulness is functioning in the marriage life of their parents, they will learn to love, to honor, and to trust their parents. Because they feel that parents honor and love and trust their children. And so you see, it's a pending reality. It's not just one way, one direction. So that a father can say, you have to obey me. And I know this is often, but I know it happened. And maybe also among us, that parents are not like Christ and his church. And that marriage life is not like Christ and his church. And that the upbringing of our children is not like Christ and his church. and that we only are asking for obedience of our children. And we say yes, and like a good father, and you have, we have read it, we read it from Hebrews chapter 12, you have to chasten your children, and I will do that. And if they don't listen, oh, maybe as a parent, how easily we can use our children for our own honor. How easily we can do that. But when, and this is, I have already spoken and I have already explained, God asks to honor, to love, to trust, because God honors and loves and trusts sinners who are in Christ. Therefore, he has given his only beloved Son. And when God is asking, and when we are asking that our children are obedient to us, we have to honor our children. No, I don't mean we have to idolize our children, to make idols from my children. Oh no. No, as parents, and this is we have to. We have read it from Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. But also, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. What it means to honor your children, to see the value of your children. And what's the value? Oh, it's a beautiful, in that answer of the Heidelberg Catechism, it speaks about the last phrase, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Parents, we are the hands of God in the upbringing of our children. We are the hands of God. It pleases God to use us as his hands. And why we are using our hands, or you can see it, little children, they always take the hand of their mom. It's safe. And her mom will guide them. And that's what we have to do. Why we have children, parents? To make idols from them? To prepare them that they will have a very very good life in this world? Is that the first purpose? No. Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he says to them in verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of God, no, of the Lord, of Christ. Oh, my dear parents, we are the hands of God to guide our children to Christ. That's the purpose of our upbringing, to bring our children to Christ. And you remember maybe that I have preached about that text that the Lord Jesus had spoken to his disciples. Suffer not the little ones to come unto me. Let them come, the children. So the question is this our upbringing? Is this the purpose? Is this the love? This is the, oh, when we are guiding our children, And then this is the purpose of our upbringing, the admonition of the Lord and the fear of God. Then we are honoring our children. And when we only bring our children up for this world, and I don't say the world in the sense of the ungodly world, but I also mean that we are only are focused on education and only on and making money in this world and everything on this thing, and you never talk as father with your children about their souls. When your children never see you crying at a table for their well-being of their souls, what a day it will be when we will stand before the throne of God, and when children will accuse you, oh God, I have never heard it from my father. I have never seen it from my mother. But what a blessing, and I hope to speak about that the next time, family worship. But what a mighty blessing. Children, when your parents show that love, that faithfulness, and that honor for you, when you feel my soul weighed on the heart of my dad, that's his biggest concern, my salvation. And that's what I feel, and that's what I taste. I taste his love. In his prayers, in the decisions he made, yes, in the limits he set in my life. Yes, we are called as parents also to say no and to correct and to instruct. And this is why we are called to honor our father, our mother. We are called to honor the authority and to submit ourselves. And so, children, yes, it's also about you this afternoon, not only about your parents. Do you honor your parents? How do you know that? When you love your parents. When you pray for your parents. When you help your parents. When you are obedient to your parents. Yes, Pastor, but my dad. Oh, I know. You don't have a perfect dad. You don't have a perfect mom. Oh, no, I'm sure. That's also, we haven't. But we have to be patient, patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities. We don't have perfect parents. No, we don't have perfect parents. No, it doesn't. This is what I say to children, not to the parents. As parents, we are responsible, and we cannot hide ourselves behind our weaknesses and use them as an excuse not to love and honor and be faithful. No, that's not what I mean. But at the same time, children, we don't have perfect parents. And I know that's not always easy. But when I see that, and maybe you have ever read or heard that book about the five languages of love, and I forgot the author, but I remember that opened my eyes to see that parents sometimes love their children in a totally different way they expected. Not every parent is able to love his children effective way. Sometimes they didn't learn it by themselves from their own parents. Doesn't mean that your father, your mother doesn't love you. But simply, he or she is not able to love you in that effective way, with all these affections, I mean. So, but first of all, we are not called to love our parents for what they do, but what they are. They are the parents given to you. Love them. Honor them. Have patience with them. Why? Why? You can say, Pastor, this may be legalistic. No, it isn't. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, it's about servants. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's a Christian. That's that new life. Because of Christ, I can also deal with the weaknesses of the authorities. When I, as a wife, have to deal with my husband, I have to deal with his weaknesses. And also the other way around. But I still accept and honor and trust. Oh, congregation, we feel this is a matter of humility, isn't it? But it is also a matter of love. And after this, what I have said all about these matters, I have to finish with and conclude. Because there are situations that we are not even able to honor the authority. We are not able to honor my husband or my wife or our parents. Because there is also in churches, and we can read it everywhere, abusing people in marriage life, abusing children, abusing children for our own purposes. And maybe here are people who say, oh, I want to honor my mother, I want to honor my father, I want to love my child. But it is simply not possible. Lives are broken for all, are broken forever by parents because they abused their children. They didn't honor the integrity, the bodily integrity, the psychological integrity of their children. Or we can abuse our children in a bodily way. We can abuse our children in a spiritual, in a psychological way. So, congregation, this is also part of this fifth commandment. It's hard to speak about that, but I want to speak openly about it. And if this is the case in your life, and maybe you are struggling, is there maybe a hidden secret? Please come and talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it with a person you can trust. Maybe an elder, maybe your pastor, maybe a teacher, whatever. But it can be a burden in the life of man, of children. You need help. But of course, this is the brokenness behind this commandment. That, oh, then I will close with that one person we have spoken already about. Oh, that precious Lord Jesus. He was obedient to his mother when she called him. No, it was not correct from Maria. From Mary, when she was actually accusing Jesus when he was talking in the temple. But Jesus was obedient and he submit himself to his mother. But way more, he submit himself to his father at the cross of Calvary. For whom? For sinners. Oh, do have to confess all my sins. Maybe also when it comes to the upbringing of our children, I have to confess my sin as a husband. I have to confess my sin as a wife. I have to confess my sin as a mother. I have to confess my sin as a father. I have to confess my sin as a child, dishonoring my parents. And my dear congregation, when it is true, and this confession is true, you will take all the consequences of it. All the consequences of it. But that is the way that by the power of the blood of Christ, he can save also that thief at the cross of Calvary. For such a sinner who accepts his guilt and who has to confess, we righteous deserve our penalty at the cross. But this person, he is righteous. And that sinner was saved from that moment. And so, guilty sinners are welcome to the precious blood of this obedient servant. Amen. We will sing Psalter 435. Stanzas 6 and 9. 435, 6 and 9. Thank you. Let's pray. O Lord, we come to Thee also at the end of this service. And we have spoken about the fifth commandment, already given in the Scripture to us from the very beginning. Honor thy father and thy mother. And O Lord, that's that commandment with that huge promise. And we pray, O God, it was a mirror for each and every one of us. Oh, it's a mirror how we are before Thee, O our Creator and God. Are we still our own God, or have we learned to accept Thy authority out of free love? Have we accept and find our joy in that fact that Thou hast spoken, O precious Lord Jesus, given unto me is all power, all authority. Oh, to call upon Thee is our Lord. Oh God, it has put a mirror before us for our marriage lives and for our family lives. And oh God, then we have to humble ourselves as members of the congregation, as couples before Thee, as man and wife, as father and as mother, as parents, as children. Oh God. Oh God. Have mercy upon us. Oh, we are called to be Thy hands in the upbringing of our children, to lead them to Thee, O Lord Jesus. And we are not able to do that, O God, by ourselves. And so, O God, when we see all the realities in this commandment, we have to confess our sins and our lost lives and that of our children. Then Thou hast called us to come unto Thee with the brokenness of our lives and family lives and marriage lives, because we are living out of paradise. And we pray, oh, we pray, remember us, Lord, and renew us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And remember our children and show them by Thy Holy Spirit Thy love and Thy faithfulness. O God, and in particular we pray for those who never speak about it, but with who are bearing a hidden cross of abusing. O God, and that's not only in the world, that happens also in churches. O God, grant them the freedom to speak about it, to ask for help. O Lord, and when it is a reality that parents abusing their children, O God, bring them to the acknowledgement of that sin. It's sin. Oh God, please, be with us. Be with this world, this broken world. Oh Lord, we asked it. And we also pray for couples who don't have children. Oh God, thou knowest all the questions they have. Oh, be also with them in their circumstances. Lord, and so we have to ask so many things. And may we put each and every one before thy throne of grace. Have mercy upon us. Be with us in the furtherance of this day. Go with us when we have to go on the roads again. Give us traveling mercies. Be with us in this week ahead. O Lord, in all our labors, when we have to travel, when part of our youth will go to the Grand Rapids, oh, give us a blessed time with the youth over there. And Lord, that we may experience that thou art in our midst. Give us traveling mercies and keep us from sin and evil. Lord, be with us and help and remember us. And also when the next Lord's Day, there will again be reading services. Oh Lord, remember our brothers in reading these sermons. Help and strengthen them. And give also the congregation to be faithful in attending the services, expecting a blessing, not from a man, but from thee. Lord, be with us and bless all our labors and forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. In closing, we will sing Psalter 62, stanzas 1 and 2. 62, 1 and 2. Ye congregation, go in peace and lift up your hearts and receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.